Father, we thank you for the cleansing stream. We thank you for our text today, where you show those purchased for God, redeemed for God by the blood of the Lamb. Speak to our hearts. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Simple or complicated? Is our salvation simple or complicated? Something simple is simple if it is easily understood, plain, basic, uncomplicated in form, nature, or design, straightforward. Something is complicated if it is intricate, complex, involved, convoluted, hard to understand or untangle, difficult to analyze. So, is salvation simple or complicated? In an online article on the BBC, religion is explained as a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, and often containing a moral code governing the conduct of human affairs. Reference.com estimates that there were 4,200 different religions in the world as of 2014. So, if we accept those statistics, then there were at least 4,200 voices addressing the subject of salvation or religion. This seems very complicated to me. And we wouldn't want to leave out our philosophers, some of whom, according to the American Philosophical Association, take on challenges such as reconciling our apparently spatial epistemic relationship to our own beliefs with the broadly naturalistic epistemology, and dealing with issues in epistemology and the philosophy of mind regarding belief. And some of you thought Sunday school was a little hard to follow. On top of all of that, we have over 7 billion people on the planet who by default, according to Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, view the world in the way that seems right to them. So we have the voices of thousands of religions and philosophies and billions of opinions addressing the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. This multitude of voices is terribly overwhelming. Enough so to cause a person to wonder how he or she could know anything at all for sure. Who am I? Why am I here? How do I fit in the grand scheme of things? So very complicated, unless we listen to God. One voice, God's voice. The complexity of life on the planet melts away when we listen to God in His holy word, the Bible. God identifies our problem. Yes, problem as in singular, as in one, as in our sin. Having accurately identified our problem, God provides the only solution: salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Please turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, The root of David has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. One day, we're going to see that in heaven. We have this starting out, though. We have this scroll, a book in some of your translations, and it's got seven seals. And John sees that the strong angel proclaims with a loud voice and looking for someone who's worthy to open that, and no one answered. And John is weeping loudly. Now, this scroll, then the seven seals, beginning next week in chapter 6, is going to pretty much go through the most of Revelation, maybe through like 19, I think, somewhere around in there. But what we have is, I had questions throughout this. First, it says John was weeping loudly. Well, why the tears? That's one of the things that I thought. Why the tears? What has John so upset? What I would like to do, and you have this handout, I'm going to read a W.A. Criswell quote. I'm not going to read this whole sheet, just Criswell's quote. But he says, "John's tears represent the tears of all God's people throughout all the centuries. Those tears of the Apostle John are the tears of Adam and Eve, driven out of the Garden of Eden as they bowed over the first grave, as they watered the dust of the ground with their tears over the silent, still form of their son, Abel. Those are the tears of the children of Israel in bondage as they cried unto God in their affliction and slavery. They are the tears of God's elect through the centuries as they cried unto heaven. They are the sobs and tears that have been wrung from the heart and soul of God's people as they looked on their silent dead, as they stand beside their open graves, as they experience in the trials and sufferings of life heartaches and disappointments indescribable. Such is the curse that sin has laid upon God's beautiful creation, and this is the damnation of the hand of him who holds it, that usurper, that interloper, that intruder, that alien, that stranger, that dragon, that serpent, that Satan, devil." And I wept audibly, for the failure to find a redeemer meant that this earth, in its curse, is consigned forever to death. It meant that death, sin, damnation, and hell should reign forever and ever, and the sovereignty of God's earth should remain forever in the hands of Satan. John was flooded with this picture. And as I had mentioned last week, I'm more and more picturing John and what he was going through, as it was, instead of him just being this impassive messenger where he's hearing these things and he's writing it down. And just picture, this is a 90-some-year-old man. He was on this prison island doing prison hard labor. And as I said last week, next thing you know, he's in heaven. Yes, he's a mighty man of God. Yes, he was one of the sons of thunder. Yes, he was a disciple and an apostle. But he's a man. And he's been taken to heaven. And he sees, and this just overwhelms him. He's like, what? We've come this far? Here's the scroll. And when this scroll is unrolled, when the seals are broken, what that is God is taking back the planet. All the wrongs will be made right. All the injustice will be brought before God's justice. But there's no one to open the scroll. And he's sobbing. He's weeping loudly. But then the angel said, turn around. He said, here's the conqueror. We needed a conqueror, a victor. And it says in verse 5, one of the elders said to me, the elder did not tell him to turn around, weep no more, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. We have to drink in as much as we can this picture, this full account that God is bringing to us. Sometimes we just get interested, well, then, when is this going to happen and when is that going to happen? But we really do. We need to see all the truth in this. But we also, I believe, and I think this is something more new to me, is we need to feel the emotion of what is going on here. A conqueror was needed. A victor was needed. The angel said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so when John did turn to look, he says, and between the throne and the four creatures and among the elders, I saw, did he turn and see the lion? Well, he did, but he didn't. The lion, what? Is a lamb. You see, because the conqueror that was needed was a sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John 1:29. So lion is a lamb. The lamb, the one who laid down his life, the one who gave up his life, the one who we sang that song, Lamb of God, and they scorned and they mocked and they ridiculed as he was hanging on a cross. You think that didn't hurt him? You think Jesus Christ was impassive to that? But what was needed for the victory, the lion could have come and we wouldn't have salvation. The lion could have come and wiped the face of the earth of the human population. But we needed a sacrifice for our sin. We needed the Lamb of God. So when he said, we've got a conqueror, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, John turned, he beheld the Lamb. The Lamb, the Lion conquered as a lamb. Well, what did he conquer? He conquered sin and death. To give you somewhat of a better, to bring the focus in on that, you could turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Let me see if I've got my verse. Yeah, 54, I knew that. 1 Corinthians 15, 54, but when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, what came to this earth when Adam and Eve sinned? That death, it was Romans 5, death came through sin. Death to everyone, we're born dead. As we're born, we have life, the physical life, but we're spiritually dead. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. So what did he conquer? See, that was another one of my questions. Why the tears? And then, well, what did he conquer? Well, he took back the earth. Some believe, And this is different ideas of what the scroll was. And they look at it as like the title deed to the earth. The title deed to the earth. And again, we have to remember all of these things putting together, this has all been part of God's plan and purpose. This isn't, the salvation of mankind isn't plan B. God wasn't surprised when Adam and Eve rebelled. This is before the foundations of the world. God knew we were going to sell ourselves to sin, to slavery, and we were going to put ourselves under the curse, and we were going to relinquish the rights to the planet under God. And he bought back the planet. Now, if you want to look at another verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, to give us another part of this, it doesn't cover it fully, but it's very powerful. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So he is going to set free all of his creation. This is what the death of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection brought to us. A worthy conqueror is found in the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion conquered as a lamb. Now it says here, back in our Revelation text, it says he was worthy. And that was another one of my questions in my study. Well, what does that mean to be worthy? And it has its preparedness for the task. It's something very specifically here, and we're going to see that in the text itself. He's worthy. He's holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. He's God. But he's the only one of the Godhead who is perfectly fitted for this task. And why is that? Worthy is the Lamb. Or worthy, verse 9, I'm sorry. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed or you purchased people for God. Now, I want to come back to that also, but what I want us to see is this is why Christ was completely the person who was worthy. This has to do with authority. And we can think sometimes and not capture what this text is getting across to us, because we can think, well, of course he was worthy, and we've been singing that for years, and we know he's worthy. But we have to understand that when we opened it up, and the one sitting on the throne, the Father sitting on the throne, and in his right hand is the scroll. And the Son takes the scroll. Now, what this means is then, and you'll see on the one handout that the earth and its history, you know, God is invested in this earth. And we can just think, well, God, he's holy, he's just, he's righteous. He is. But you think it doesn't mean something to him that he's going, and the Lamb of God is going to take this scroll and he is going to open it up and he's going to put an end to every person on this earth, that those who have not come to Christ, those who have not been purchased for God by the blood of the Lamb, he is going to cast into the lake of fire? Do you think that God takes that lightly? See, this is a very solemn ceremony. Chapters 5 and chapter 6 are preparing us for the scene in heaven. One commentator talked, he said, it's like getting the war machinery ready to go. Very solemn, very dignified. Even the praise that comes later, it's not this, it's praise and it's joy. But it's also this affirmation. As it said, the living creatures say, amen, so be it. And the elders, yes. And then what happens is like a fourfold, four rings. It's the living creatures. By the way, better translation is living ones. And there's some things on your study sheet. You can look into that more. The elders, probably representative of the redeemed. The living ones, probably cherubim. And probably this inner circle. And then the angels, innumerable angels, the third layer. And then the fourth layer, all creation. Heaven, earth, on the earth, in the earth, everywhere. Just erupts in this song of worthy praise. But it's not just singing. It's not just coming. It's this affirmation. The seals are getting ready. This earth will come to an end. You have on one of your study sheets, it all began with a literal six-day creation. And it's all going to end with a literal 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ. At the end of these seals, at the end of these judgments, we'll have the great white throne judgment. We'll have Satan cast into the pit. Satan himself is not going to be, the devil is not going to be going around torturing people in the lake of fire. He is going to be tortured. He is going to be judged in the lake of fire. So if you pictured any of the solemnity from the presidential inauguration, well, just picture this scene in heaven, this solemn scene in heaven where God knows that he is going to destroy billion, not destroy as in extinguishing, but he's going to judge would be a better word. He is going to bring destruction to billions of people on this earth. Who could be worthy to unleash that? Who could be worthy to unleash that judgment on our planet but the one who came and shed his blood in our behalf for whoever will believe in him and receive the gift of eternal life? Who is the one? So this is the scene that we have with us. So he's worthy. He has all of the authority. God doesn't need us. God doesn't need the living beings. He doesn't need the angel chorus. He doesn't need all of this telling that he's worthy. He doesn't need that amen, but that is what is happening in this heavenly scene, this tremendous affirmation, deafening sound of innumerable heavenly hosts and creatures and everything. Amen. The four living beings wrap that up. The elders fell down and worship. Thirdly, the Lamb is worthy to execute God's plan of judgment and redemption. And that's what this is all about. That's what the scroll is, God's plan of judgment and redemption. See, it's the same thing, the blood of the Lamb. Now, here's why I said we wanted to come back to a statement. And I thought about this and I didn't follow through with it. But in the middle of verse 9, "For you were slain," speaking of to the Lamb, "and by your blood you ransomed people," but I really like some of your translations have, "you purchased people for God." Are you a purchased one for God? Are you? Now, isn't that, I mean, just thrill you to the depths of your being? Doesn't that just, it's grace, it's mercy, it's nothing I deserve. And what I was going to do is try to get one or two or three of you brave ones to come up here. And since you know me, I don't know if I'd have got any takers. But purchased by God. See, we need to know these things, don't we? We need to live in view of those things, don't we? You're purchased. If you've trusted in Christ, if you've believed in him and received his gift of eternal life, what's talking about you in the middle of verse 9? You're purchased. You're one of the people purchased by God, by the blood of the Lamb. See, that's what salvation is about. And that's why salvation is not complicated. We can have 4,200 religions trying to speak to it. We can have philosophers trying to speak to it. We can have 7.3 billion approximately voices, as like I say, by default. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 tells us there's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but the end thereof is the way of death. We can have over 7 billion voices giving their opinion. Oh, this is so complicated. It's not complicated in heaven. It's not complicated in this day. Purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Not purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Heaven, lake of fire. Doesn't even call it hell in Revelation because hell, Hades, all that, that's going to be history. That's all. In fact, the talk speaks of that being thrown into the lake of fire. I hope you see the point. We make things complicated. We make it just, it's just like, this is so difficult. How can a person know? Well, do we want to know? Are we going to seek God with our heart, soul, mind, and might? Do you want to know? God tells you, if you want to know, you will know. We looked at it in Sunday school, though, we believe, apart from a work of God in our lives, what we want to believe. But it's not complicated. Our problem is sin. Now, you'll have people, you'll have liberal Christian denominations will scoff at that, and you'll have professors in universities scoff at that, and your neighbor down at the diner, your buddy down at the diner might scoff at that. But see, we've got a voice. This is why it's so important to let God speak with clarity through His Word. We looked at the churches that were on the ropes because they tolerated false teaching. They tolerated false teachers. They had the gospel wrong. They made it more complicated. They made it more nuanced, we would say. But it's not complicated. Purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Not purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Heaven. Lake of fire. Where are you in the end? Where are we in the end? Where am I in the end? And the most important lesson in Revelation, not the only important lesson, but the most important lesson in Revelation is not figuring out when this happens and when that happens and who this is and what that represents. Although those things are important because they're in God's Word and we need to study them, but it's not what's most important. See, we have to understand that in God's Word, there are things that are important, they're very important, and most important. No, the most important lesson of Revelation is finding where are you in the end? And the issue is simple. Are you a person purchased for God? And you know, and this, boy, that is the whole thing. Purchased, not just purchased by the blood of the Lamb, but purchased for God. Our supreme God, most high, sovereign ruler, providential Lord, the whole thing, holy, dwells in unapproachable light. That's who Jesus bought us for. He bought us back. He redeemed us. We're purchased for God. You talk about putting that on your shopping trip of all shopping trips. Well, did you buy anything? No, but the Son of God purchased me for the Father. That's powerful, isn't it? That's who you are. So now the second most important lesson. So what sort of person should you be in view of that great salvation? See, the first important lesson, where are we? Are we there? Am I purchased by the blood of the Lamb? And understanding and drinking all of that in and the power of that. Then the second is, how am I going to live in view of that? Am I going to live in honor? Am I going to live like a child of the King? Am I going to live like a son or a daughter of God? Am I going to live like one who, except for the grace of God, it would be door number two, the lake of fire for me? Am I going to live like that? Am I going to put aside my bitterness and my resentment? Am I going to have a love for this Word and allow it to take hold of my life through the Holy Spirit teaching me and shape and transform and get rid of my bitterness and my pettiness and my contentions? Am I going to rise up to the identity? Let the Holy Spirit bring me up to the identity of who I am and go around. There are so many. God gives us our identity. This is one of the very, very powerful ones. There are so many, though. Romans 8 also says that His Spirit bears witness or testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God. Does the Holy Spirit tell you that? Are you listening enough? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we listening enough? Do we hear that? Do we know that? Can we know that for sure? that we're forever God's? Yes, we can. Clarity of God's word. It's not complicated. It's simple. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. And we praise you for your word of truth. It's far beyond us. We praise you for eyes to see, ears to hear. Father, we pray that you would put away. Lord, I prayed earlier this week that just to never allow the stiff neck, the rebellion, the none of that, Father, that you would push it aside, that I would humble myself before you, and I would pray that for us here, our fellowship. Humble ourselves before you and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We pray, Father, that if there's any here has any doubt of where they come into play with the gospel, the purchased by the blood of the Lamb or not purchased by the blood of the Lamb, any doubt that they would speak to me about that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.